They're staying in the church.
Amen.
It's untelling what the Lord might be able to do with these young folks years down the road. And I'm not just saying that, I mean that. The Lord will help me here in a minute. Down at Brother Allen, Brother Stennett Ballou told me, or Brother Fane Jordan, one down there, that Brother Allen's young people had been singing together for years, 13, 14, 15 years. And I tell you, it shows in their singing that they do. It shows. And these kids learn one another, learn each other's voices, and so on and so forth. And you'll be surprised how God can use them in years to come. To glorify His wonderful name. All right, Song of Solomon this morning. And we're going right on this. I know this is a couple of Sundays from Christmas or a Sunday away from Christmas. But we're going right on in Solomon and preaching what God bids us to preach. And it doesn't have a thing to do with Christmas this morning. Doesn't have anything to do with Santa Claus. Doesn't have anything to do with His birth. But it might have a lot to do with your birth. And I want to try to mind the Lord. Solomon chapter 8, let's stand together, please. We'll read the first two verses to get the thought in its context and try to bring the message that God's laid on our heart. Song of Solomon. And let's not get too hungry for the food. If God opens this thing up, it's nothing I haven't preached to you before. But if the Lord opens it up, we might be out here till supper time. We might just go eat supper. Amen. And somebody said, "Preacher, I couldn't stand that." You're going to feel bad in heaven. It's untelling how long we might preach up there. Might last a long time, preaching in eternity, you know. And somebody said, "Will there be preaching up there?" I believe the Lord will shell the corn a little bit. He might let us folks get in on a little bit of it, tell the old story. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I believe there'll be testifying going on in the hills of glory. God's people are telling the story to the angel. Let me tell you, Gabriel, what happened to me that could never happen to you. I want to tell you something good, sir, that God done for me. I'm telling you what, buddy, it's real to me now. It is real in my soul. All right, Solomon chapter number 8, verses 1 and 2. Oh, that thou wert as my brother, that sucked the breasts of my mother. When I should find thee without, I would kiss thee. Yea, I should not be despised. I would lead thee and bring thee into my mother's house, who would instruct me. I would cause thee to drink of spiced wine of the juice of my pomegranate. Now may the Lord add His blessing to that, and by the grace of God, we'll preach on it here in just a minute. Our Father, we are thankful for the day. Thank you, Lord, for the day, that day God made. I want to rejoice and be glad in it. It's the Lord's doings. It's marvelous in our eyes what you have done upon the cross. Thank you, Lord, for deliverance. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for grace. Thank you for love and mercy and fellowship. Thank you, Lord, for heaven. Thank you for life and it more abundantly. Thank you for the people of God, the church, the Bible. Thank you, Lord, for our family. Thank you for so many things during this wonderful time. But most of all, we thank you that you died upon Calvary's cross to redeem old sinners. And I pray that you'd help me now in these next few minutes. God, that you'd touch me by your Spirit and fill me with the same. That, Lord, that you'd grant liberty this morning, auctionize my soul, my spirit, and give strength in my body, that I might preach the Word of God. And may, Lord, it open up blinded eyes and bless heart and glorify your precious and wonderful name. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to call our attention this morning to verse number 2. The Bible says there, I would lead thee, that is the bride speaking to Christ, I will lead thee, or would lead thee, and bring thee into my mother's house. Notice the next statement, who would instruct me? And I want to preach, if God will help me for a while this morning, don't want anybody to pass out now. I want to try to preach, if God will help me this morning, on a mother's instruction. Oh, there's nothing any more glorious on the planet Earth than the instruction that a mother can give to her children. Training up a child in the way that they ought to go, that when they're old they might not depart from it. And a word of admonition to you children. You should give ear to your father's instruction, Solomon said, and to your mother's commandments. And by the way, Mama, you can command them. And I'm going to say this, and I'm not going to preach, don't get excited now, on the home, and I'm not preaching on the mother per se. But I will say this, Mama, that child will spend a great more deal of time with you than it will with Daddy.
Amen.
And you better train that child early.
Amen.
Some of you in here got little children that's spoiled as rotten as dirt. And if you don't learn to switch them a little bit, they're going to get worse. That's right now.
Amen.
That's right. A mother's instruction. I want to preach just a little while on that. Now, in the verse, if you read it with me, we find a very, very unusual situation. For the Bible said there that I would lead thee and bring thee into my mother's house. Now, that's unusual. That is the church speaking to the Lord Jesus, and you and I as believers saying to Him, if we had the relationship or enjoyed the fellowship as a brother and a sister, then I would lead you into my mother's house. I'd bring you into my mother's house. And that is unusual for the church to be leading the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's common in the Bible or in the Scriptures to find the Lord leading His people. In fact, the Bible said that He leads us as a shepherd would lead his flock. And the Bible said that He leads us as a commander would lead his military forces. He leads us as a father would lead about a son. Or He leads us as a man would lead about a wife. And by the way, brethren, wives have to be led.
Amen.
That's exactly right. Brother Paul said, do I not have power to lead about a wife?
Amen.
There is such a thing as leading your wife.
Amen.
Amen and amen. And the Lord leads us in this manner. But here we find the bride leading the Lord. She said, I would lead thee, and I'd bring thee, and guess where she's going to bring him to? To her mother's house.
Amen.
Right back to the place where I was birthed. I'm going to lead you into my mother's house. Now that word lead, stay with me now, that word lead signifies such a leading as one would lead a person in triumph. It is not saying that the church has the spiritual ability to lead the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, no, no. But it's referring, or it signifies the fact, as one would lead someone who had just had great triumph. It's a leading that is joined with great respect and great honor to the person that is being led. In other words, that little old bride has great honor and great respect given to the Lord Jesus. She's not leading Him because He is blind and ignorant. She is leading Him in a place of esteem and a place of honor and a place of respect. She is ushering Him, if you please, into her mother's house. It's a word that implies like a servant would lead a great king and usher him in to a place at a table to be seated and to dine. It's like a woman when she has guests at her house will usher those people in and instruct them where they are to be seated. And with great honor and with great respect, this little bride is ushering in the Lord Jesus, giving Him great honor as one that is a triumphant. And by the way, folks, He is a glorious victor. He has a triumph over sin, Satan, and over the grave. Hallelujah to God. And it's our God-given responsibility as His children to usher Him or to lead Him into the mother's house, giving Him great respect for what God has accomplished for you and I within our lives. Don't leave me now. The word house. The word house means a place where a family congregates.
Amen.
By the way, the family ought to be there too.
Amen.
God hadn't called us to burn up the highways and run the roads.
Amen.
But if God's given us a house, if He's given you a house, make it a home.
Amen.
It'll only be a home if you make it a home.
Amen.
Make it a home where the family congregates. And stay with me now, and that word mother means the bond of the family. I'm glad, thank God, that women are that. Mothers are a bond to the family unit, brother. They're what keeps a family together. They're the ones that puts the stick into the family and holds things together in the difficult times. I grew up as a boy very poor. And I found out it was my mama that made the sacrifice to keep our family together. It was my mother that was the bond in our family that put out the good old blackberries and the biscuits when that's all we had to eat. It was mom, friend, that when there was six people to eat and five pieces of apple pie, she suddenly decided that she wasn't hungry and didn't want no pie. I'm telling you, a mother is the bond of the family that is kept, my friend, in the house. Now I want to give you the interpretation here. The interpretation is this, my friend, that the church is ushering Christ, or leading Him into the house of God. That house where the family meets. I don't know of another greater family in all the world than the family of God that meets at the house of God. And what is the bond that holds us together or brings us together is the church of the living God. Hang right in there. And it's at the church where the children receive instruction. It's at the mama's house. Oh, she says, I would lead thee and bring thee into my mother's house. Oh, yeah. And there, who would instruct me? Oh, boy, this ain't no Christmas message, Brother Hall. I'm preaching on a mother's instruction. I'm talking about the instruction that we get from the house of the living God. Oh, yes, and we get that instruction because you and I have brought the Lord Jesus into the house of God. I wrote this down in my notes. A lot of people today are wondering why they can't find direction from God. Why we can't get real instruction from the Holy Ghost. You can't be instructed, son, from somebody that's not around. That's why I preach His presence is imperative. That we cannot get along without it. Oh, we might come to the church and have here listen to a preacher and his agenda. We might have some religious or biblical rhetoric, but I'm talking about divine, holy instruction down at the house of God. And by the way, the church is the mother of us all, and we ought to listen to the instruction that we get in our mother's house. Which of you children would turn a deaf ear to the voice of your mother? I'll say one thing, if you would, you're a rebel. A child that'll turn a deaf ear to a mother's instruction is a renegade. And a quote-unquote Christian that will turn a deaf ear to the instruction at the church house is a renegade. That's why she wanted Him here. She felt it imperative, an absolute must, that she lead Him and bring Him to the mother's house that she might receive instruction once they got there. For without him being there, all they'd hear is a preacher's words.
Amen.
Some of you struggling with God's will for your life. Wondering why you can't find direction, what God wants you to do. I'm going to tell you why. No God. No Christ. No presence. Can I quote you a verse of Scripture, friend, that has stuck with my heart for years when I was a praying and a looking for God in Bible college? Psalm 32 and verse number 8. The Bible said, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Now, friend, you cannot, somebody cannot guide you with their eye unless they're in eye contact. Thank God, you've got to be close enough to him to make eye contact, son. Yeah, oh yeah. Somebody said, how can that be? I'm going to tell you, it's not hard. I remember when I was a boy, my daddy would correct me, set me down on a chair or something. I'd begin to fidget. All my daddy would have to do was just turn them eyes like that. He didn't say a word, but those eyes had a voice and words of their own, friend. I knew exactly. Daddy was saying, it's time to shut up, son, or we're going to go out behind the seat. Don't apply the Board of Education to the seat of your learning out behind the woodshed. That's right. Somebody said, can we come into that kind of obedience to Christ? I've got news for you, friend. The Bible said we can bring every thought into obedience to Christ. Every thought we can bring into obedience to Christ. Amen to God. I'm going to tell you one reason we're so ignorant today. Hey, no God in our midst. And we don't want no instruction. We don't want to listen. Oh, come on now. And then we wonder why our children won't listen to us. Might be because we hadn't listened to God. Oh, I would lead thee and bring thee into my mother's house. Who would instruct me? And by the way, I don't have time to get into it this morning, but later they drank juice from her pomegranate. That's the fellowship. And we're not going to fellowship with God until we've been instructed of God and come into compliance with the instructions that God lays down for us to follow. Not going to work that way, buddy. You know, when I got a hug from my mommy and daddy, after they lined me out, they didn't love and hug all over me and then say, son, let's go in the back room. They said, boy, let's go in the back room. We come out of the back room about 15 minutes later after I shut up. They put their arms around us and love us, say, Mom and Dad loves you now. We're just trying to help you. We're trying to a little fellowship come later. Hey, it was instruction first, and then the juice of the pomegranate, the fellowship, and spiced pomegranates at that. Spiced wine. Oh, hallelujah to God. A mother's instruction. Now you stay with me. Who is this mother of instruction? And we're not going to jump no pews today. It's the church. It's the church, friend. That's where, oh yeah, somebody said, oh, I knew we'd get down to that. It's always the preacher is right. Oh no, I sat on my pew this morning and let another man instruct me in the Bible. And said amen to what he said. Somebody said, did he tell you anything you didn't already know? Whether I knew it or not, even if I did, it refreshed my memory. It blessed my heart. It stirred me up. I realized, son, that I'm special in God's eyes. And God took time out of his schedule to come to where I was. He didn't come to somebody else. He come to little old me, and by grace, he lifted me out of the miry clay. Hallelujah. You never get a hold of that. Hey. Woo! Come to the mother for instruction, the church. The church. What do we, hey, what kind of instruction do we get? What would you teach your child, mother? It's going to get real quiet. Somebody said, preacher, you ought to be preaching on Christmas. I might touch Santa Claus a little here in a minute and reindeer too. I passed a church Monday night, a church. that had a big star shining up in the sky and a bunch of reindeer out in the field and even had Rudolph and had the eastern star shining on Rudolph, a red-nosed reindeer. Santa Claus and God don't go together, son. We're in a confused world, brother. We're in a mess in our churches. I'm telling you why folks are ignorant to what the Bible teaches is because there's no God in their midst to instruct them in the way that they ought to go. We need God, Brother Billy. We need His presence in the church house. Oh, that He might instruct us and teach us in the word of righteousness. That we might not sin against God. For what I say without Him is rhetoric. It's an agenda with no God. But if God will speak to your heart, if God will quicken the word that I preach and sink her down into your heart, and you will learn something you'll never forget. You might forget what I say, but when He speaks, I'm not about in the soul now. When He speaks to you in your soul, you'll never forget it. I've never forgotten that verse of Scripture. I've never forgotten His promise out of Exodus 32 when He said, "My presence will go with you." 33 maybe. "My presence will go with you." I've never gotten over Genesis 1 and 2, or 12, 1 and 2. "Get thee out of this country, from thy father's house and thy kindred, to a land that I'll show thee." I've never gotten over that. I've never gotten over this verse of Scripture. I've never gotten over this verse. I'm going to tell you, a preacher told me last night about some people who left the church. And here's what he said. He said, "I'm not chasing after them." I said, "I wouldn't chase them after them either." Several years ago in Matthew 15, the Lord said, "Let them alone! Let them alone! They're blind leaders of the blind." I'm not going to chase after a bunch of rebels and renegades that will not sit under the preaching of the Word of God and will not come under instruction of the Bible and will not fall under authority of Christ and will not come into obedience to Him. I will not chase after that crowd. No! If they sat under preaching for 3 months, 6 months, 5 years, 10 years and revolt, let them go! I said, "Preacher, you don't love people." "Yeah, I do. I love you that are here and saved by the grace of God. That's why I'm going to spend my time studying and reading and praying instead of chasing after a bunch of rebels. Amen. Trying to drag a bunch of billy goats with their beards back into church." "Amen. Come on, billy goat. I'll make you look like a sheep. I'll trim up your beard and cut off your horns. Shampoo you down, make a sheep out of you." "No, he'll still be a billy goat. You can take a hog, son, give him a good shampoo bath, put a red ribbon around it, and he's still a hog. I guarantee you on that." Amen. Woo! Well, you mamas going to instruct those children. A mother, the mother of instruction, "I will," she said, "I would lead thee and bring thee into my mother's house." What would happen when you got there? Who would instruct me? She can't instruct me if you're not there. But who would instruct me if you were there? Now I say a mother ought to teach good conduct. Amen. That's right. We ought to teach our children how to behave. Amen. Not act like a bunch of renegades and rebels. That's right. Amen. Not wild as a March hare. Teach them to have courtesy and dignity. Amen. Teach them to be reverent. Teach them to be humble and holy and to live in harmony around other people. Teach them some good manners. Yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. Yes, sir, and no, sir. It's still in order. Amen. I read an article some time ago about one of these women, a newspaper columnist, writes in the... she's not from around here, but the Messenger prints it. It was back when somebody was talking about saying in the schools they ought to say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. She said, "In all due respect to all you Southern folk," said, "we didn't learn to say yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir, where I come from." I said to myself, "I can't help it, your mom and dad's ignorant! I can't help it if God give us Southern folks something we didn't have much of Yankees." Amen. 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 A little bit of manners and common courtesy, son, and Southern hospitality, and there ain't nothing wrong with it. Amen. Amen. Somebody said, "Preacher, where do you get that in the Bible?" Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 3:15, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. I ain't talking about nothing, one of them you can't see either, buddy. I'm talking about this one right here. Huh? It's no wrong thing for a preacher, the Spirit, for the Lord to teach you how to conduct yourself.
Amen.
What kind of clothes to put on.
Right.
Huh? That's right. How you ought to fix your hair.
Amen.
You wouldn't want your child, you wouldn't want your daughter running around looking like it with the attire of a harlot, would you? There is an attire of a harlot. Then what makes you think a preacher ought to stand up and let folks in his church dress in the attire of a harlot? I'm going to try my best to teach you some good conduct, good behavior. How to behave in the house of God. And one way is not sitting like a knot on log all the time, bless your heart. Singing, making melody in your heart. Worshiping God, praising the darling Lamb, glorifying Him. I want to share this with you, buddy. I won't take but just a minute, but I'm here to tell you when God opened up Mary's little old blinded eyes in the book of Luke, and she realized that in her womb, in her belly, was the Lord Jesus. Mary said, My soul, not my emotions and my will. My soul doth magnify the Lord. Something hit home deep in her spirit and soul that opened up her blinded eyes, that you recognize that God was being carried in her womb. She said, My spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior.
Hallelujah.
To the Lamb forevermore. Mother teaches good behavior. I think a mother ought to teach good company. Who your child runs with does make a difference. I ain't letting mine run with every Tom, Dick, and Harry. That's right. I know that's right. Proverbs 1:10, My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. That tells me that a good daddy, a good mother, will not allow her children to run with sinners.
Amen.
Now what makes you think I ought to get up in here every Sunday morning and tell you can go out there and just fellowship and hobnob and run with anybody you want to? They got a little old restaurant in Nashville, Indiana, me and Miss Hoyser. It's called the Hobnob Corner. You know what hobnob means, don't you? Just hobnobbing around, hanging around, loafing around, killing time. Just come on in. Anybody can come on in, sit down. We don't mind. Come in naked or anyhow you want to come in. Run with them that chew tobacco, smoke, cuss, drank liquor. Run with them that listen to rock music, country and western, sing about Garbage Brooks and Dolly Parton and all that crap. Don't bother us none. Just go on and do it. Whatever will be anyway. Son, I'm going to tell you, you are blinded if you believe that. If I believe whatever was going to happen to God's people was going to happen ultimately in any way, I'd stop preaching now. But He's chosen Brother Ricky by the foolishness of preaching to save those, not that are lost, but those that believe. And that by that word "save" means deliver. He is chosen by the foolishness of preaching to deliver you from sin and error that you might walk in righteousness.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I feel God burn in my soul. I feel like I might take a nap here in a minute this morning. That's right. I'm going to teach you to keep good company. Run with the dogs, you catch the fleas.
Amen.
I think a mother ought to teach good commitments.
Amen.
You ought to teach your children to be committed to something.
Amen.
Not loafers and wasters of time and sluggards.
Amen.
If you mamas, I'm going to tell you why Mrs. Hall charges for these piano lessons. If you pay for something, you will study. You will apply yourself. And you will commit yourself to filling or fulfilling that obligation. I'm going to tell you, get something handed to you on a silver platter all the time. You will take it whole humdrum. You wouldn't give a flip one way or the other.
Amen.
Miss Hall doesn't take that for the money. She takes it to help you and your children to commit yourself to something.
Amen.
That's right. You young girls in here that are studying that piano, don't stop!
Amen.
You boys that are beating and thrashing on these guitars, I don't care, bless God, if it make a hound dog cover up his ears and howl at midnight.
Amen.
Keep on thrashing and beating, for someday you'll be able to pick and grin like Ben and Brother Wayne.
Amen.
Hear what I'm saying? I believe, hey, God wants the church. Hey, that little bride brought Jesus into her mother's house that you might instruct her to be committed to something in her life.
Amen.
I don't think of a hey. I don't think of a better thing to be committed to. Friend than Jesus.
Amen.
What the psalmist said, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart.
Amen.
Commit thy way unto the Lord, and trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass.
Amen.
Have you committed yourself to Him? I'm going to tell you, if we'll give Him our commitment and our dedication and our determination in life,
I
guarantee you, that'll crowd a whole lot of other mess out of our lives.
Amen.
I'm feeling good. Well, I feel like a pastor this morning.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Proverbs 3:6. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Woo! Son, you're talking about commitment.
Amen.
That's why Paul could say, I count all things but dung that I might win Christ.
Amen.
That's why Paul could say, I press toward the mark for the high prize of the calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm telling you, buddy, I feel all right in the house of God today. Commitment. Are we really committed to God? Or is there still a little room in there for something else? Somebody else. Other things. Well, I tell you what, on the authority of the Word of God, no man can serve two masters. Either he'll love the one, hate the other, and he'll cleave the one and despise the other. But you can't have two of them, buddy. Wonder how committed we are. Committed to come to the meetings. Committed to serve, committed to work, committed to labor, committed to be faithful. Come on in the house, children. I could just skin you right there, right real good, gently like. And then walk back up here and pour in a little salt. We can do what we want to do. Go where we want to go. Enjoy who we want to enjoy. But there's going to be times that, you know, these little things in the church, I just couldn't make it. I can't get there. And we don't participate in these kind of things. I'm going to tell you the problem. There's no real commitment to God.
Amen.
Folks, you can come to church 3 times a week and sit on a pew and never be committed to anything for Jesus.
Amen.
I'm talking about never be committed to anything. You couldn't run me off, buddy, from the house of God. It's the house of God. It's here that I receive warning and instruction. It's in the church that preachers skinned my hide and busted my hide and spared me, friend, the heartache and the hurt and the pain that a lot of folks go through because they will not listen.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
I want to say secondly, I'm trying to hurry. I had 9 points and I condensed it to 5. That's point one. There is not only the mother of instruction, there's a master of instruction.
Right.
Woo!
Amen.
I would leave thee and bring thee into my mother's house. Who would instruct me? Ain't going to get no instruction without the master. Somebody said, preacher, what do you mean a master? I'm going to tell you what Nicodemus said. Nicodemus said, master.
Amen.
Rabbi.
Amen.
We know that thou art come from God. For no man could do these things except that thou doest, except God be with us.
Amen.
We went on, and Nicodemus didn't understand. He didn't understand the new birth. And Jesus said, are you a master in Israel? You don't know these things? Are you a teacher? Are you you trying to instruct the people and you don't even know these things? But I'm going to tell you who the master is. Whew. Buddy, oh yes. Jesus. Said in Matthew 8:28-29, it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at His doctrine, for He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribe. I'm going to tell you who the master is, son. Jesus Christ of Nazareth teaches us with all authority. Buddy, I don't apologize for... for preaching to you what the Bible says. I can do it with authority because it is the Word of God. You know that word I just read a while ago in Psalm 32:8, I will instruct thee and teach thee. You know what that word instruct me? It means to enlighten the intellect by the pointing of the finger. Got it? Comprehend it?
Amen.
Whoop! He's a master. I don't think there's no greater teaching in all the Bible than Matthew 5:6-7, the Sermon on the Mount. Now, and I'm hurrying through these because some of you is already ready to go eat, buddy. I've done middle too long with some of you. But in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus, that great master teacher that will teach us in the house of God. Do you know what He started on when He went up into that mountain in a high place? And when He was seated, they come unto Him, and the Bible said, and He taught them. You know what the very first thing that ushered out of His mouth was? Blessed. 9 times. Blessed. 9 times. The first thing that the Master teaches us is how to be happy. He wants us to be joyful. Happy in Him. Poor in spirit. Meek. When persecuted. These things ought to bring joy in our life.
Hallelujah.
I want you to be happy. That's why I hit on it. I would be a fool to get up here and say, I want everybody in here to leave today sorrowful. I wish we could all just go home and lay down outside and cry. Son, I want us to go back there and eat whatever's back there until our belly swell looks like, until they look like them little pygmies down yonder in Africa. Go home a whistling Amazing Grace that saved a wretch like me. Get to the house and say, honey, praise God, wasn't God good at the church house today? And if she'll learn anything, let her learn of her husband when he gets home. Sweetheart, tell me, what did we learn down there today, buddy? Praise God, forget the television. Praise, throw that egg sucking one-eyed devil out the door. Get the kids. I'm going to try to teach y'all how to be happy in the household today. We're going over what the preacher preached all over again. That's right. I want you to come here and learn how to be happy. I'm going to tell you the second thing He told him. He told him how to be holy. Where He said in 5:20, He said, for I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
He taught them how to be happy. He taught them how to be holy. He taught them how to be helpers. He said in Matthew 5:42, give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow from thee, turn not away. Hey, learn to be a helper.
Amen.
Y'all ready to go eat? Y'all may finish. Third thing, the means of instruction. I didn't say the mean, I said the means. We'll get to the method here in a minute. The means of instruction. The Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, if we don't have any Holy Ghost here, if no God is around here, we might get some Word of God. But I'm talking about down deep in our soul, in our spirit. in our inner man, receiving firm instruction from God that we might walk happily and wholly. I won't say the Spirit, John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things.
Amen.
And bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you. Can you get a hold of this? Look here, there is the past and the present and the future. He'll bring all things to your remembrance.
Amen.
He'll teach you. He'll teach you all things. Let me read it again. He'll bring, teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance.
Right. Amen.
God don't let us forget what we've already been taught. And at the same time, He builds upon those truths. That's called training up a child.
Amen.
Building upon truth after truth. That's what a train is, by the way. It's one boxcar after another, boxcar after another one. That's what training up a child is, hooking one truth onto another truth onto another truth. And you better start while little Susie is sweet and innocent. Come on in the house, children.
Amen.
I'm going to say the Scriptures. He said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. It was Daniel in Daniel 9 and verse number 2 that it was in the first year of the king there that Daniel learned by books about the 70 weeks of desolation that should come in the land of Israel. Is everybody going to sleep? Nobody want to hear nothing this morning? I'm telling you that Daniel learned from the Bible that there should be 70 weeks of years in the desolation of Israel when they were in captivity. You're not going to learn about the Bible and God's way, folks, without getting into that book and studying. Old Brother Penn over there been coming in lately and said, Preacher, you been reading that book on Baptist? We got down there. Here's what these guys say. These guys say. And I went home and I told Miss Hall, I said, I'm old Brother King Penn is getting into that book a little bit. Learning a little bit about Baptist history. And contrary to what some of you believe, me and Doug and Steve don't run around here all day foolish. We do get sober-minded occasionally. Talk about spiritual things. Or tell on him. Would you get mad if I told on you? Brother Ricky, I went home last night and just rolled on the floor. They all said, why are you laughing about it? I said, get this. I said, see if you catch what I'm saying. I said, we got in the van yesterday morning to go squirrel hunting. I said, Brother Steve, I'm going to have to go up and get some gasoline. He said, whatever you need to do, go do it. And his term, he said, let me ask you something, Doc. I said, all right. He said, are all women forgetful about putting gasoline in the car? Or is it just a few of them? I said, most of them are that way. He said, is it all women? I said, most of them are that way. They know, most of them know how to drive, but they don't know anything about checking oil, putting gas, checking it. They don't know nothing about that. And he said, I just wanted, now get this, now here's what he says. He said, I left here to go home yesterday, and he said, I forgot to put gasoline in the car. And then I told Angie, when it said, you got enough gas to get to church tonight over to the fellowship, but said, before you come back home, put some gasoline in the car. And said, I woke up this morning and said, Angie, did you put any gas in the car? And she said, oh, I forgot. He said, they're all like that. But did you catch what? But did you catch what he just said? He said, Brother Hall, I forgot to put gas in the car as I was going home. He gonna get on her for forgetting gas. He already confessed. He done the same thing.
Amen.
And most of the time we the same way, boys. Ain't I the same way, ain't I, baby? It's not men and just women, and it's not just you, Brother Steve. It's all of us.
Right.
That's why we gotta have teaching, instruction over and over and over and over and over. I don't know how. I hope you don't. Yeah, it doesn't make you mad at me, did it? I hope not. Having some fun. I'll tell you the third thing. The third thing in the means of instruction is our situations. I'm talking about providence. There was a man by the name of Elijah who went down to a brook and he learned that God would provide.
Right.
There's a man by the name of Daniel that went down into a den of lions, and in that situation he learned that God would protect. There's a man by the name of David, my friend, that learned that God would punish a situation in his life. Now I'm trying to hurry. Then there's a method of instruction. Them that sinned, pat them on the back. Them that sin, rebuke.
Amen.
Before all.
Right.
I'm going to tell you the method, son, of instruction is rebuking.
Amen.
Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Two-thirds prove reproving and rebuking, and one-third exhorting.
Amen.
Said in Psalm 27:5, open rebuke is better than secret love. I'll tell you the second way is by exhortation. Get this now. Old Brother Paul and his company got down to Antioch, the church in Antioch in Pisidia. And in chapter 13 and verse number 5 of the book of Acts, they went into the synagogue and they stood up. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, boy, I'll never forget this. Billy Schaffner back in 1980 at the June Jubilee at Wilbur Hertz up in Indianapolis, Indiana, read that verse of Scripture and said, I want to preach this morning on Sabbath! He said, we was in a black church, and them black folks would say, brother, preach, preach, preach. Said, we go into a white church, and white folks say, amen, preacher. Let her rip, son, let her rip. That is exhortation. Anybody have any word of exhortation? Let him say on your tight lips and closed mouth and silent tongue, we'll never exhort the people of this church. I'm sweating now. I know I'm having fun. Y'all look like you're about ready to die, but I am having fun, buddy. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Amen.
You know what I told myself when I got home Tuesday night? I said, if somebody over there don't learn to help carry the spiritual load, I'm going to die. I am dying. I can't carry it all, folks. Ask for testimonies, and you men sat like nuts on logs. I'm talking about exhortation, and if you want the third method, it's edification, and that builds up people, and it does build up people when they hear about the trials and the tribes in your life.
Right. Amen.
Help me to know that God has delivered somebody else.
Right.
God's helped somebody else. God's blessed somebody else. Old Brother Jude said in verse 20 of his writing, said, but beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life.
Amen.
Building up yourselves. That's edifying. Rebuke, exhortation, and edification. And the fourth one is going to really float some of you down the drain. I'm going to tell you another method, friend, is exaltation. We don't exalt one another. We edify the church and exhort the believer, but we exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Brother Raymond Bell's over at Brother Griffith's. I got done preaching over on that Friday night in that meeting, and I stand over there, and he came over and he said, shook my hand, he said, tug my neck, and he said, Oh, Brother Hall. He said, I want to tell you something, man. He said, one thing I got to say for you. He said, every time you preach, you do your best to try to magnify Jesus to me, man. He said, you try to lift up Jesus and hold up Jesus. I'm going to tell you what, son. Hey, that's a way of learning.
Amen.
We learn by others and their exhortations and edification. And we learn by exalting the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
When I said today, if I'd have been sitting in this pew, and I was one of you fellas in here that says you called to preach. And I said, anybody got a word of testimony? I'd say, hallelujah, everyone. I won't tell you what God done for me.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, I've heard them tell what God done for them 100 times. Well, tell it one more time.
Amen.
Tell me His name again. Sing me a song about Jesus. Tell me when you got saved. Tell me how God brought you out. Tell me how He's a blessing your family. Tell me about Him. Ain't that right? Let me show you something. Nobody in here can mention. We can't be in a group of men and somebody say, "Old Brother Jerry got saved 365 feet down." I guarantee when we say that, it'll put a smile on your face. And it'll help. Miss Hall come in, told me yesterday, said they had the best ladies' day up there they've had in a long time. Said just a good spirit in them ladies. And buddy, I'm telling you, we left here the other night, the good spirit. I'm talking about we left here on Tuesday night, everybody just talking, just a wonderful spirit. Miss Hall said it had one of the best things. I didn't know that Sharon was a teacher. And said Sharon got up and brought her lesson and got to talking about how God had worked in her life.
Amen.
And how she finally realized that God worked in her life. How that an unpleasant situation with her mother had God had used that and brought her to Christ. I run upstairs. Woo! Woo! We ought to be willing to walk through a hellfire across a bed of nails set and go over Niagara Falls in a metal barrel if that'd bring us to God. Tell me how you, and your experience don't have to be like mine.
Amen.
I was saved as a man can be saved, but I wasn't living right and I wasn't living for God until that day in November when I walked into that hospital and looked at my mother-in-law on that gurney in that mortuary. And the Holy Ghost said, and son, it don't bother me to tell you that because God may have to take some of you down the same little road. And I'm going to close with this. Some of you wish I'd have closed a long time ago. There's a menace to our instruction. Just a menace. More than one of them. Why not tell you about Melchizedek right now? But there's a problem. You're dull of hearing. That's a real menace, buddy, the instruction. Instruction comes in the form of words. And if we're dull of hearing, how do we ever expect to learn?
Amen.
Now, I'm not saying this to be critical. I love them. I wish this here in church today. Jerry's little granddaughter, I was talking about out there about being determined to be a housekeeper. Never been taught. Truth. See what I'm saying? Never been taught the truth. No. Just dull up here. Some of you come and sit on the church pews on Sundays. You sit there and you hear, but you don't hear a word. Hear, but never hear a word. And then a deceitful heart. A deceitful heart.
Amen.
It's like the preacher preached, taught in Sunday school this morning. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And son, I'm here to tell you, you can't live for God and cram your heart and mind full of rock music and Hollywood and all that junk. A world, you can't do it. Won't work. You're deceiving yourself. You are deceiving yourself. And this last one, I don't know why I put this down. I'm closing. I'm going to say another thing. That's a menace to your learning, friend. Your instruction is a defeated helpmeet.
Amen.
Ain't a man living can be a real man if his wife stays whooped all the time. And they ain't a woman living that can be a real Christian if her husband is whooped all the time.
Right.
Amen.
And some of you in here are whooped because some little situation in your life didn't go exactly like you'd want it to go. Was that little situation in your life exactly like you wanted it at the time, Sharon? No, but yesterday you sure thanked God for it, didn't you? If it hadn't been for that, Sharon, I might be in hell right now. be strung out on dope, drank and running. That little boy asleep back there. Come here, boy. Don't look at Ann before you get up here, you'll cry. Come here. Well, there's the preacher, buddy. What is that? Your mom and dad. And I say this lovingly. What is best for her? The death of her mother and this? Or the life of her mother? And her strung out on dope and drunk? And maybe already in hell. And no Robert. And no. Huh? Watch it. Don't cry now, huh? I'm going to tell you something, folks. And I've really got a feeling. And I'm not going to tell you who, don't ask me. But I got a feeling that some of you that's here right now that are members of this church, that your biggest problem is you wish you was a member somewhere else. I think that's your biggest problem. You wish that you could gracefully go somewhere else where you wouldn't have to be put under the strain of following the Bible so closely. And I'm going to tell you something. If that's the truth, you ain't got much root in yourself to live for God.
Amen.
I don't, hey. We ought not to have somebody tell us three times a week how we ought to live.
Right.
A mother's instruction, I'm talking about. And by the way, I don't think I'm off base. Because if you've heard like Brother Crawford before, he'll testify and say, Highland Ford Baptist Church is our mother church.
Amen.
Churches start other churches. That's why they're called a mother church.
Amen.
So I don't think this is wrong to say this is mother's house. This is mother in here.
Amen.
And by the way, I like it when children are born at home.
Amen.
You'll catch that at home.
Amen.
Sir, would you like to say sinner's prayer? I didn't know there was such a thing.
Amen.
I like to see them preached out of the pew, buddy, and hit the altar.
Amen.
Mother's instruction.
Amen.
I hope maybe God give us a little this morning. Let's stand together.